Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Bible Study. This is Brother Miles. I'm glad you stopped by. I'm glad you joined us today, wherever you are, wherever your place of listening is. And I hope that you're doing well, your family's doing well. Hope everything's going good for you. And if not, just keep your eyes on Jesus and focus on Him. And let's learn from whatever situation we might be in at the moment, because there's always something to learn. And that's why we're here today, is to learn, and I'm learning some things that we're going to look at today. We've got a difficult passage that we're going to be delving into in just a moment, but we're going to take it for what it says and move right on through, getting close to the ark, getting close to Noah. We'll enjoy that part of the study too. But we're going to be in Genesis chapter 6, so get your Bibles ready. We're going to open with prayer, then we're going to begin, and we're going to do our best to make it through verses 1 through 7 today, okay? All right, Lord, I want to thank you for today. Thank you for the moment that we're in. Lord, thank you where we are. Lord, wherever we may be today in life, Lord, you're with us. And I thank you for that. That's a comfort, Lord, to know that your presence is with us. And I appreciate that so much. Lord, we're so unworthy, but it just reminds me, Lord, that you love us without bounds. Lord, it's so hard to wrap our minds around your love. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for every listener today. I pray your blessings upon them. Open our hearts and minds to the study. Please, Lord, help us to remove anything that might hinder us from learning today. Whatever it might be, let us lay that aside and look to you for guidance and for illumination in Scripture. Light our way and help us to see every step, because we ask you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Well, I'm glad you're here. We're going to be in Genesis chapter 6. And the study today concerns, well, it's actually going to be a transition. We just finished talking about Cain's line and then the Seth's line and the Lamech that was in the Canaanite line that was wicked, and then the Lamech that was in the Sethite line that whose son was Noah. And, you know, not a lot's mentioned about Seth, Cain's descendants. God has dealt with him. He's introduced Seth now, and the line that the lineage that Jesus will come through. And so God made a promise. God made a promise back in the garden to Adam and Eve that it was a promise of redemption. He gave an example of redemption right there when that little animal was, the blood was shed, and he took those coats. He made those coverings for Adam and Eve. He covered them, and even though it was a temporal covering, it was better than man's covering, better than those fig leaves. And so God is prepared now. He's making way for, down through the quarters of time, for the Lord Jesus Christ. And his chosen people, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the 12 tribes, the 12 sons. We're going to be going into all that. I really enjoy the Old Testament. I hope you do. I enjoy the New Testament too, but the Old Testament has a lot of history and, you know, the historical books and... You know, there's a lot of excitement, has failure in it, and how people recovered from failure, how some didn't. And and all through, from Genesis all the way through to Revelation, if we're still here studying before Jesus comes and we get to Revelation, we'll see the scarlet thread of redemption that began in Genesis right there in the garden and goes right on through history, right on down through history. And you can see the blood of Jesus all the way in types and symbols. And so today in Genesis chapter 6, let's go ahead and read verses 1 through 7, and we'll begin and see how far we can go today, okay? So I hope you got your Bibles ready. Get comfortable, and here we go. And it came to pass, that is a signal of transition. We're going to be introduced to another event that's taking place. This is the only time when God uses, he prepares his creation to destroy creation. And so it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, And this multiplying was at a rapid pace. I mean, it just moved about in a rather quickly manner. Kind of reminds you of, you think about it in Exodus when the children of Israel grew and grew and grew and grew and grew. And it was kind of the same here. And men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them. That seems like a natural way of life. And all through this, you'll see how life goes on, how life continues. And good things come in life, bad things come in life. You know, there'll be times of plenty, there'll be times of famine, there'll be times of good, there'll be times of bad. There'll be times of discouragement, there'll be times of victory. You know, life deals us all kinds of situations. And for the Christian, for the born-again believer, any situation that we enter into that situation with God's presence, even if it's of our own doing. We enter into that situation with God's presence because he never leaves us or forsakes us. And he's there, and there's some interesting observations in this text today, and they can be applied to the day and age that we live in right now. All right, so it says, then the daughters daughters were born unto them. And then verse 2, that the sons of God saw that the daughters of men, they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. The difficulty of this passage is, and it's one of the most debated passages in the Bible, is who the sons of God are. Some say they were angels, fallen angels. Some say they were human beings wanting to build. They were human kings of hierarchy, that intermarried with the Canaanite line and wanted to build harems and created this wicked race or this wicked people. And some say that it was the sons of God were the descendants of Seth that married into the Canaanite line. And so, you know, it's difficult really to translate in the Hebrew. The actual Hebrew doesn't really help a lot either. But, you know, taking the passage and correlating with other passages in the Bible, there's no reason to believe or to think, in my opinion, that the sons of God were nothing more than fallen angels. And they intermarried with the daughters of men. And and so, you know, without getting into a real deep study on this particular part of the scripture, let me finish reading and I'll make a comment that'll kind of, you know, help us to bring it together. That the sons of God saw. Now see, that saw is what Eve did. She saw. Remember? She saw the fruit, and it was fair. It was, you know, pleasant to look upon, something to make man wise. Remember, all right. And then it says saw that the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, "My spirit shall not always strive with man, for he is also flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years." There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God. Sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them. The same became mighty men and were of old men of renown. And God saw. God sees everything. God is omnipresent. Nothing escapes him. The eyes of the Lord in every place, beholding both the good and the evil. He sees when we do good and he sees when we do bad. We try to hide. You know, we think that, you know, come on, somebody, you've been there, you know what I'm talking about. We think that we're okay if nobody else knows and nobody else sees. And but really, that's not true. That's not true, because God sees all. He knows everything. And that helps to put that into perspective. That helps to know. See, that's a part of our relationship with God, because he walks with us. He is in us. He is in us, and so he's with us everywhere we go. No matter where we go, we take God with us. All right, and so God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, "I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them." verses 1 through 7, but then verse 8 says, but Noah. All right, so there is a parenthesis there. There is a interjection of a new person that's he's God's provision. God's providing a way out. Now see, that's the way God is. In the New Testament, he said there'll always be a way of escape. No matter what the temptation is, there'll always be of escape. And that we have within us the ability to say no. God provides a door of escape, that we can overcome it, and that we can say no. We don't always do that. So God provides even another way. He said if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So God provides for us on every hand. He provides a way of escape. Then he provides a way of repentance. God has all kinds of provisions laid out for his children. You know why? Because he wants you to succeed. God is for you. God wants you to succeed. God wants you to move forward. God doesn't want you to become stationary in our walk with him. He wants us to grow. He wants us to grow and move forward and to learn and to build our faith. The only way to build faith is through the study of the Bible. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I said last week, I believe it was, about Psalm 119. When if you're discouraged and you're searching for answers, you need God to deal with you on certain matters, or to help you, or to lead you, or Psalm 119 is an excellent place to go. Read it slowly and carefully, but read it out loud, because the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Going to church is awesome. I love church. We've started back, but I miss the way things were. But your faith is going to grow more by personal study, just like we're doing right now. Just exactly like we're doing right now. And looking at the different principles and the things and the observations that we're making and how we can apply them to our life. And I want you to think about this situation right here that we're introduced to. And the Lord said, chapter 6, verse 1, listen to this. He said, it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them. As time went on, as the population grew. And we were introduced to somebody back here that was possibly an iron worker or the advancement of civilization, excuse me, and a metal worker. Enos lived 90 years and begot Canaan. He was his name could have meant metal worker. Then there was one that praises God, one that handled the harp, and one that attended to cattle. And so you can see how the ability, and for lack of a better word, technology of the human race began to grow. And how, and when that happens, Satan has available to him opportunities and avenues of temptation. Anything that man has to do with, Satan can take it and use it to embarrass or to thwart God's plan. That's what he's all about. That's why he was in the garden with Eve. That's the whole point, was to go through God's highest order of creation to hurt God. That's what he wanted to do. That's what he always wants to do. That's how, if we'll remember that Satan, when Satan tempts us, it's not really about us. It's about us as far as it goes to destroy our testimony for God, to destroy our witness for God, to break up our families that God has ordained, husband and wife and children. And so in this passage right here, it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw that the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they choose. The word took has, to me, it gives me the idea that there was some sort of force there. And it says, now look at what God says in verse 3. The Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Now, did you know when God is dealing with me, he's striving with me. because he's trying to get me to see things his way. He's trying to get me to learn. He's trying to teach me. He's trying to get my attention. And I'm so bombarded with external stimuli at work and at home and even church and people and places and the news and things that are going on. And there's all kinds of things going on in our life that we focus on which we need things that we need to deal with. But if we're not careful, those things will come between me and God. Even though I'm trying to solve them, I'm trying to deal with them, I'm trying to live life. If I don't put God in his proper place in my life, then it hinders me. It stunts my growth. It's just like a church that's programmatic but doesn't have the Spirit of God. It's a church that has programs. I mean, you know, have committees for committees, and you have this program, you have that program, you have a sewing program, you have a youth program, you have a children's program, you have a senior adult program, you have a program flower program. I mean, you have all these different things, and which are not bad. They're not bad at all. We've instituted some programs in our church, but even programs can if they're not dealt with properly, they can take the place of God. Isn't that what he told the church of Ephesus? We need to look that up, Revelation. Lost your first love. Because they were so involved with the church policy and polity. And God, he says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. I thought about that. Right here in this place, at this juncture, God's patience, his long suffering was waning. It was waning because, and he explains it in verse 5 in just a minute. Now, I wonder if we're there today. I wonder if we are in a place to where God is beginning to not strive with man. God is removing his hand. You know, we've said no to God so many times. I remember one time there was a man in the church that I pastored years ago, and it was during the week of revival, and he was invited. His wife, we'd all pray for him. Finally, he came to revival, and the preacher preached. That first night, that man stood there in the pew, and he just squalled and squalled and squalled and squalled. But he wouldn't move. You know, the invitation was held over, and he still wouldn't move. Went on like that. Finally, about midweek service, the tears had stopped. About Thursday night, he stood there with his arms crossed. Friday night, he was looking off, wasn't even listening. You see what happened? You notice what happened there? The Spirit of God was dealing with him in the beginning, and he was so adamant and refused so strong that, you know, God backed off. God backed off. You know, think about that when God's dealing with our hearts, you know, during the service, during the invitation, at home, wherever it might be. You know, if you can't sleep, think about this right here. If you can't sleep, sometimes it may be that God's speaking to you. I've thought about that. When I wake up at night, sometimes just out of the blue, and I can't sleep. And I wonder, I start thinking, you know, about things to pray about. I start searching. Not all the time. I don't do it all the time. I ain't trying to sound all spiritual on you, but sometimes I'll have the mind to ask, God, are you trying to, did you wake me up? I mean, I'll be wide awake. And I'll begin to pray, and I'll think about the church and the people and, you know, the radio program, Facebook program, you know, all this kind of stuff. You know, direction. You know why? Sometimes God wakes you up like that. He strives with you like that. Because that's the only time he can get my attention. You got the nerve to admit that? Sometimes that's the only time he can get our attention. It's when nobody, the phones are not ringing, television's off, kids are in bed, whatever. Now see, he says right here, he said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. That's not just applicable in Genesis, that's applicable today. If the church don't come to its senses, if the church don't put God first, and Sunday return to the Lord's Day, not the Sabbath, the Lord's Day. If Sunday don't turn, if we don't turn Sunday back into the Lord's Day, His day. You know, I wonder if God's going to take His hand off the church. I wonder if God's going to take His hand off our community. See, He says, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." for he is also flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. That 120 years is the, maybe it's the time that he gives these people to repent before the ark is finished, is completed. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, the word giant, I've got this wrote down. Let me see if I can find it right here. The word giant is in the Hebrew is Nephilim. It means to fall, meaning strong men who fell on others or to overpower them. And so it says that there were giants in the earth in those days. There's giants in the earth today. There's giants that's trying to step on the church, trying to step on your testimony, trying to step on your marriage. Yeah, there's giants today. Giants, and also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, they bare children of them, the same became mighty men and were of old men of renown. And so here's this race of people, or this group of people. You know, those kind of people are in the world today. There's people today that hate Christians. There's people today that hate church. I know a person right now that used to pastor, and boy, he don't give you 2 cents for the church. And now watch what happens right here. Look at verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of men was great in the earth. Let's pause right there for just a minute. Think about, I'm not trying to be a gloom and doom here, but I mean, this is where we're at. And we've got to see the picture. The better part comes along in verse 8 here in just a little while, if we get to it this morning. But you've got to see the picture. You've got to see the correlation. You've got to see the comparison. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Now, how great do you think the wickedness of man is today? Tell me what you see on TV. Tell me the words that you hear on TV. Tell me that the roles that children are playing on TV today are not appropriate roles, because there's kids today that are talking and acting like adults, and they're 10, 12, 8 years old. And, you know, when I was growing up, I was a young'un, and that's what my mom and daddy treated me that way. They didn't treat me like an adult because I was not an adult. They didn't ask me if I wanted to go to church on Sunday. They got up and they didn't ask me if this is the church that we wanted to go to. They didn't include me in that that decision. No, I was a child. That was my place in the home, and that's how I acted. I ran and screamed and swung on vines and played in the creek. Didn't have a care in the world. And then as I grew older, I began to take on responsibility. My dad took me to work, hung sheetrock, finished sheetrock, and you know, and he instilled in us work. That's what my daddy knew. That's what he taught, was work. I was doing a man's work when I was 12, 13 years old. And when we were playing in the front yard, the adults was talking in the backyard. If we went back there, they'd find out, what do you want? And then we had to go play. We didn't sit around the kitchen table. Kids today are growing up at a rapid pace. And they want things that has taken parents years to accumulate and build. They want it overnight. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Now watch this right here. This will bring it even to a tighter perspective. And that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. If you watch television, we have antenna television now. I'm gonna give you 2 cents for internet television. I wouldn't have internet right now if it wasn't for doing this radio program and my wife working at home. I'll be honest with you. That's the only reason why we have it. And it's a good, and let me say, it's a good reason, because of the radio program, because she's able to work at home. But as far as TV goes, I was raised on Andy Griffith. That's what we watched. And Gilligan's Island. You know, things like that. Things that had, you know, it had a good ending to it. But if you were to take a pencil and piece of paper and write down things that are in commercials today, and I don't want to spend a lot of time right here, but if you watch some of these commercials and the innuendos and the impression that it's given, the words that's being said and the people that are in them, it's very disturbing, people. It's very disturbing. But you know what? It's my fault. It's my fault. Ought not to have it on. I mean, if that particular channel, that program, it was offensive ought not to be watching it. Come on, somebody. It's within my power. That's one of those doors that God gives us to escape. We can go over and we'll take the remote, turn it off. Yeah, same with the radio. Don't y'all cut me off. But you understand what I'm talking about. And see, and listen, think about this. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Government, officials, preachers, people are, that's not the way it's supposed to be. That's the way it is, but that's not the way it's supposed to be. You know, we're supposed to do our best to follow God and stay close to him and to be aware of the temptation and the things that happen, the things that go on. And so the only way that we can arm ourselves, he says, to take the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, and for our faith to be strong. See, Enoch and Noah were the only two right here so far that had a message. Enoch's life pleased God. And God chose Noah. We'll see that in just a minute. But look, if you will, see that the imagination of his, this means that he was sinful inward and outward and inward, inside and out, through and through. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth. Good gracious life. What to for God to think that he was sorry that he had made man. Man, what a verse. You know, what something to say, you know, that God is so through with us. God is so through with these people. And it repented the Lord that he had made man, and it grieved him in his heart. Now then, I'm not, don't misunderstand me. God's not taking any blame right here. God is not to blame. We've always had a free will. We have a choice. Everything that I do, no matter what the outcome is because I've chosen to do it. Now, we say that the devil tempts us, and he does tempt us. But we can never say that the devil made me do it. That was popularized. That phrase was popularized back in the early 70s, I think it was. And the devil made me do it. And so it kind of caught on. But the devil doesn't make us do it. I'm always faced with a decision. So Eve was faced with a decision to choose the fruit or not choose the fruit. Cain must choose with a decision. When he was walking out there in that field, they said he had already plotted because he drew Abel away to be alone, thinking that, you know, that God wouldn't see. God said, "Where is your brother?" He said, "I don't know where he's at. I don't know where he's at." So we have a choice, but so the choices that we make, the choices that these people were making right here, and the way wickedness compounded itself. See, wickedness grows. If you plant it, it's like a seed, like anything else. Righteousness will grow. Good deeds will grow. Wickedness will grow. Bad thoughts will grow. If we entertain thoughts that are wicked and bad, that's what Cain did. He brooded on that from the time God rejected his offering. And, the thing that he thought would be better is if Goody Two-Shoes Abel wasn't around. And so his mind... See, it was born in his mind, in his heart, and it developed. And so these people right here, see, imagination of the thoughts of their heart was only evil continually. It repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. He was sorry for something that he created. By no fault of his own, he was sorry because of the decisions that man were making and that the thoughts that they were thinking, that the evil that was being produced day in and day out on the earth. And the Lord said, "I will destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping things and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them." God destroyed everything. And we're going to see, I'm just going to read verse 8, "But Noah found grace in the sight in the eyes of the Lord." So God, even though it repented him that he made man and he was grieved, God, God makes a way out. He makes a way out. Listen, my time's about gone. I just want to tell you, it's good to talk, good to be with you. And I want you to pray for us, pray for the situation in our communities, this coronavirus, the thing that's going on. And take these words to heart right here and listen to them. and listen to him as an individual. Don't listen to him and say, yeah, that's right. That person right over there, I know exactly what you're talking about, Brother Miles. But listen, I will see you next week. Lord willing, God bless you. Have a wonderful day in Jesus' name.